You guys can have a seat this morning. Well, we just sang about living hope, and we're going to talk about chasing hope in this teaching series today. And we are kicking it off. This is our first week doing this, and so we really are glad that you are here and that, you know, so many of you guys are joining us online today. If you don't know, my name is Rick. I get to be the lead pastor here. And what we want to do is jump right in to this living hope. I want to illustrate it with this bucket. This bucket is our hope. And in this, we all have a bucket of hope that we walk around with. We all have a hope that we carry around with us. And what happens is some of you have so much hope that it's leaking out, right? It's leaking out in a good way. It's like spilling out everywhere you go. You know, you just are encouraging people. You're telling people about who Jesus is. And that's amazing. Some of you, though, you know, you're about half full. You know, your bucket is about half full. What you need to do is put some more hope into your hope bucket so that you can spill out, so that you can share that hope with others. And then some others of you feel like your hope is like completely drained. It's like somebody pulled the drain plug out, right? And there, you just don't have any hope. And what we need to do today is we need to make sure that we are filling our hope bucket up, our life up with hope. So Webster's Dictionary describes hope in two ways, one as a verb and one as a noun. As a verb, hope defined as a verb is to desire with expectation of attainment or fulfillment, to expect with confidence. And this morning, I talked to some of you, and you are expecting with a confidence that Brady's going to take Mahomes out today. That's what some of you are thinking, right? That's your desire. That's what you're hoping for. And you know what? That's okay. Others of you are like, oh, come on, Mahomes, right? Let's take Brady out. Let's show him the young buck, right? But wherever you fall, that it doesn't matter, because that kind of hope is okay. We can have that in our hope bucket. There's nothing wrong with that kind of hope, and we need to put that kind of hope in our hope bucket. And some of you, maybe in your hope bucket, what you have is your black Silverado, 4x4, four-door, right, with the trail packy so you can go off-road. Like this storm, if you had a Silverado, it doesn't matter about the storm coming, right? You can plow your way through. Maybe in your hope bucket, it's not a black Silverado. Maybe it's a Mustang GT, I don't know. Your convertible, whatever, right? But that's in your hope bucket, and what you do is you plan, and you're like, expectant with the confidence as you plan to work your way towards that hope. That's okay. It's good to have that kind of hope in our life. But there's other kinds of hope that we all need, and that's stories of hope. We all need to fill up our hope bucket, and we need to put stories in our hope bucket. And that's what John O'Leary does in his book called On Fire. This book that he wrote, it's the seven choices to ignite a radically inspired life on fire. John O'Leary's story is a story of hope. John describes himself as a curious boy. He describes himself of growing up in a neighborhood where loved by his family, going to church. God was a part of their growing up life. And in his neighborhood, he had some buddies that were playing with matches and gasoline. And he thought, that's pretty cool. So he goes back home into his garage. And there in his garage, he starts playing with matches and gasoline. And he says, the next thing I know, what he remembers is being blown up against the wall and then waking up in the hospital. And what he remembers is his mom. When he becomes conscious, he remembers his mom sitting at his bedside saying, Johnny, do you want to live? Johnny, do you want to live? And the reason she was asking him that was because he was burned on 100% of his body with 87%. Now listen to this. 87% of his body had third degree burns. Third degree. That means it is affecting your bone, your muscle, and your ligaments. There's some kind of effect there. 87% of your body. It was horrible. And so what Johnny decided, he said, with lots of prayer. He says, people were praying for me. People he didn't know, people in his church were praying. And he said, I was fighting. He fought for 5 months in the hospital, fighting for 5 months, until after that 5 month, he came home. Johnny got to come home, and there, their family held on to this story for 20 years. He said, we didn't speak about this. And then all of a sudden, it dawned on their family that if we shared this story with others, it may bring them some hope. And so they broke their silence after 20 years. The parents started sharing their story with family and friends in a self-published way. And what John decided, he realized, I have a story of hope that could fill other people's hope bucket. And so what he did is he wrote that book, On Fire. And so what he does now is he literally travels the world sharing this story and speaking, and has created all kinds of leadership stuff. But he has this story of hope because he says of what the power of prayer does and what the power of choosing to move forward through whatever obstacle your life is facing. And so now he goes around and sharing that. And we need those kinds of stories of hope in our hope bucket. We need to hear those kinds of stories, read those kinds of stories, and put them in there. That helps fill our hope bucket. Because your bucket, just like my bucket, is like a bowl of water left on the deck in the middle of the hot summer. That if it's not, if you don't put water into that bowl, it will evaporate. If you go out there day after day, you'll just watch the water level go down. And your bucket of hope is just like that. That's why we need to have this kind of hope and put hope into our hope bucket. But hope isn't just wishful thinking. Hope is taking steps of faith, confident in who Jesus is. Webster defines hope as a noun like this: someone or something on which your hope, my hope, our hopes are centered on. I want us to think, we all have that hope bucket, but that hope bucket has a name. And that hope bucket's name is Jesus. Hope as a noun. Hope as a noun. What you are taking your hopes and you're placing them on the person, centered on someone, on the person of Jesus. You and I have this opportunity to place our hope in the person of Jesus. This is why Hebrews, and the author of Hebrews says this, meaning Jesus, are the hope bucket itself, that person, Jesus, is able once and forever to save those who come to God through Him, through Jesus. He lives forever, Jesus lives forever to intercede with God on our behalf. That's who we put our hope in. Our hope is centered on the person of Jesus. And so your hope bucket has a name, and that name is Jesus. And what Jesus is able to do is to save all those who come to Him. Did you hear that? Jesus is able to save all those who come to God through Jesus. And in chapter 6, they put it this way: we who have fled to Him, those of us who have fled to Jesus for refuge, can have great confidence. We can have great hope, not wishful thinking, but we can have this confidence as we hold onto the hope that lies before us. This hope, Jesus, is a strong and trustworthy anchor for our souls. It doesn't matter what the storm of life that you are facing. This hope, this anchor, this Jesus is strong enough to weather whatever relational issue is going on right now. Whatever the doctor told you, this anchor, Jesus, your hope is strong enough to hold you through whatever it is that you are facing, whatever situation, financial, whatever your job situation is right now. Here's what you can have hope in, that it's a trustworthy anchor that for our souls. And Jesus leads us right through the curtain into God's inner sanctuary, and you can count on it. And so the very first question is, do you have Jesus as your hope in your life? If you don't, if you look on your connection card, like the hard copy that you have here, if you're online, if you go to that link on the connection card, the very first next step says, by faith, I place my hope in Jesus as my Savior. Is that your first next step? Is that what the step is that you need to take? Is to actually place your hope in the person, to center your hope. As Webster defines what hope is as a noun, to center all of our hope, centered on someone, the person of Jesus. Do you need to do that? If you do, if you would just indicate that on that connection card, or text us the word trust to our texting phone number, 401-496-9710, and let us know that, so that we can get connected to you, because we want to help you on this journey, on this faith journey that you would start on. That today, you know, think about this. Today, on this 2021 Super Bowl Sunday, you could actually place your hope in Jesus, and all of a sudden your life is transformed. All of a sudden your life changes. All of a sudden you have an anchor for your soul that's trustworthy. Is that what you need? If it is, let us know, because we want to pray for you. And look at this, for all the rest of us, if you have placed your hope, if Jesus already is your hope bucket, let's just look at this. This is the hope that we have in Jesus, or the promises that we have in Jesus. Here's what we fill our hope bucket up for all of us who would say, yes, Jesus is my hope. He is my hope bucket. He is. And here's what we fill our hope bucket up with: salvation. We just saw that we can have the confidence that hope that lies before us, that we one day will be with Jesus forever. That is a promise. That's a confident hope that we can have. But it's not just for you. You know what? You need to carry that around, that salvation. You need to carry that around wherever you go, and let people know that there is hope for them in the person of Jesus. So you are to take this promise and share that with others. The idea of forgiveness. You know, we don't have to carry our guilt and our shame. That's something that we can put in here. We don't have to carry all of our mistakes. Yes, we've messed up. Yes, we have sinned. We have disobeyed. We have rebelled against God. But you don't have to carry that. Jesus forgave us for our sins. And you know what? That forgiveness, because you have been forgiven, now all of a sudden you can forgive somebody else. All of a sudden you are able to forgive somebody who has wronged you. And that chain that we talked about, that Maggie was talking about earlier, that the chains have fallen off. Some of you need to have the chains of unforgiveness fall off in your life. You aren't moving forward in life. You don't have hope in life because you haven't forgiven, and yet you have been forgiven. And Jesus calls us to forgive others like you have been forgiven. See, you could have that hope. He calls us to strength. There's a hope of strength. He promises. Remember, a couple of weeks ago we talked about this. I can't, but God can, right? He promises you a strength that is outside of you, outside of the strength that you have. He promises a strength for you. He gives that to us by His Holy Spirit. And that, it brings us encouragement. There's more. Look at that. So we've got strength through the Holy Spirit, And now we've got encouragement. Now, encouragement what? That wherever you go, that hope that Jesus is with you. It doesn't matter where you go. That encouragement. It doesn't matter what you're going through. You have Jesus with you for whatever it is that you're going through. And when you have Jesus as your hope, here's the promise. He's in control. He's in control even in the middle of a world pandemic, you know, that is all throughout. He's still in control. He's in control when you lose your job. He's in control when you don't have the money to pay rent or the mortgage. He's still in control. When you don't have control of your health, He is in control. That's the hope that we have when our hope is in Jesus. And you know what? We have this hope that I can love like He loves. Unconditionally, without any strings attached. Not because the other person deserves your love. Why? Because you and I don't deserve Jesus' love. We can love because we have been loved. All of that. This is just like scratching. We could spend the rest of our time. This is just like scratching the surface of all the hope that you can put into your hope bucket. And this is how we replenish our hope when it's in the person of Jesus. And we're framing this whole teaching series over the next several weeks in this way, that chasing hope, the person of Jesus, driven by faith. Our faith is this. Faith is taking the next step when you can't see. Faith is taking the next step when the fog is so thick you could cut it with a knife, right? Faith is taking the next step when it doesn't make sense, but you're going to head in that direction. Faith is moving out of your comfort zone into an uncomfortable position. Faith is moving from the unfamiliar into the moving from the familiar to the unfamiliar. That's what faith does in our life. And Hebrews describes it like this in chapter 11, verse number 1. Faith is the confidence that what we hope for will actually happen. Faith is the confidence for you to take the next step. Faith is the confidence that even though you don't understand, but you know that He's calling you to go in this direction, faith is for you to actually take an action step forward. That's what we are doing with this microsite. You know, our vision is still to be a multi-site church, one church in multiple locations throughout Rhode Island. That was our vision before COVID, and it's still our vision. But we think because of COVID, we've found a first step or a middle step, whatever you want to call it. And that's this idea of microsites. We had never thought about microsites before, but we thought, wow, what if hundreds of people started meeting in their own neighborhoods, in their homes, watching the live broadcast and inviting people over for church and doing it live, face to face with other people? Because that God has called us to be in live fellowship, live community with each other, right? And so what if we started a bunch of microsites throughout the state of Rhode Island, and this was like a middle step or a step before, a pre-step before we launch an actual full site. Because what if there was a large group? What if we had 10 microsites that were meeting in one geographical location? Whoa! We maybe down the road could launch a church from that, or maybe people choose to continue to do the live stream broadcast as a smaller group of people in their home. We don't know. But you know what we're doing? We're just taking a step forward. And that's what these families in Charlestown and Westerly have decided to do. They have committed over the next 5 weeks to do the live broadcast together in face-to-face communion, one with the other. And what our initial meeting, we've already met once, and we to talk this thing through. And we said, hey, what we need is your help to figure this out, because we don't know what we're doing. That's the faith. That's the step. That's an action step of faith. That our hope is that we want to bring Jesus to that community of Charlestown and Westerly. And now these families are coming together and they're already thinking, oh, I know this person and I know this person that we can invite. And what we said is, hold on, let's first figure out how do we do this together. And they have all committed to being for doing this over a period of 5 weeks to help us figure this out so that some of you can capture the vision. So that some of you would be like, I could do that. I could host that in my home. I could have a few families over. We could do church in my house together in that way because Easter's around the corner. And here's what we know. We don't have enough chairs in here for our normal Easter services. And given the, you know, all the restrictions that we're under, we know that we're not going to be able to seat everybody. But you know how we could seat everybody under through these microsites. We could seat all the people that typically want to do church on Easter Sunday. We could do that. You could give it a trial run, just on one. You could commit to, you know what, I'll do it for one Sunday and let's see what happens. If you would be willing to do that, in our next steps, there's a part in there saying, hey, I want to be a part of a team. That's partly what that means, and we'll talk about that later, and you can indicate it on your connection card. But it's about taking a step of faith. Does your hope that you have in Jesus, and are you actually taking action steps by faith towards that hope? Now, watch this. Look what the author does in Hebrews. In the very next verse, in verse number 2, he says, through their faith, the people in the days of old earned a good reputation. And then the rest of this chapter goes on to point back to all these people who have stories of faith in the Old Testament. And what we're going to do over these next several weeks is we're going to go back and zero in on one people group. And that's the people of Israel under the leadership of Joshua. And so today, what I'm asking you to do is we're just going to briefly look at Joshua chapter 1. And what we will do throughout this series is continue to look at Joshua and look at the book of Hebrews. We're going to look at Joshua and then look at the book of Hebrews because we can learn something from the people of old, how their faith actually led them to take steps when the fog was so thick they couldn't see where their foot was going to land next. And they took it anyway. Oh, do you and I have the courage to take the step anyway? So, jumping into the story, Joshua takes over. Don't forget this. God had promised to redeem the people of Israel. They were in the land of Egypt. He promised to redeem them and give them their own land. Moses leads them out of there, and then they start complaining because they wanted it right now. And God says, no, it's going to take some time. And because of their complaining, because they didn't believe, because they didn't want to take steps of faith, what God ended up saying is that you guys are going to stay in this wilderness until you learn this for 40 years. So now Moses dies. Joshua takes over. It's been this 40-year mark. And here's what God comes and looks at Joshua. And here's what God says. I promise you, Joshua, what I promised Moses. And what was that? Wherever you set foot, you will be on land I have given you. And then he goes on to describe all the land. Slide down to verse number 5. No one, this is God still talking, no one, Joshua, will be able to stand against you as long as you live. For I will be with you as I was with Moses. I will not fail you or abandon you. And that's a promise that you can put in your hope bucket if Jesus is your hope. That you can count on this. The way they said it in Hebrews is, I will never forsake you. I'll never abandon you. I'll never flee from you. And that we have the same promise that God promises to be with you in the worst of the worst. And I know sometimes it doesn't feel like he's there. But we have the promise he really is because he's promised not to abandon us. And because he's promised not to abandon us, verse 6, be strong and courageous. Why? Because he's with you. Because he's with you wherever you go. Right? He said it. I'm not going to abandon you. If you go to Stop and Shop, I'm going to be there. When you go to work, I'm going to be there. If you go back to in-person schools, I'm going to be there. Wherever you go, I will be with you. He promises to do that. You take Jesus with you wherever you go. He'll never abandon you. And he says, for you are the one who will lead these people to possess all the land that I swore to their ancestors that I would give them. You know what we see here? It wasn't happening on the timetable that they wanted it to happen. We're reminded that God has a different timetable. We're reminded that God, yes, he's still in control, but God's timetable is different. The people of Israel, they wanted it to happen in 40 days. And maybe, you know, they could understand that logically. But 40 years, there's no way. And maybe you feel like it's been 40 years for you. You still have the same promise. He hasn't abandoned you. He hasn't forgotten. He's in control. And so he says, be strong and very courageous. And then he says, be careful to obey all the instructions that Moses gave you. Don't deviate from them, turning either to the left or to the right. And then you will be successful in everything that you do. Do you see what he's saying there? When he's saying, don't deviate from the book. You know, be careful in that book, the book of instructions. He's talking about the instructions that Moses had left, known as the law, which is contained in the first five books of the scriptures in the Old Testament. And we know that because the very next verse says, study this book of instruction. You see, you know, you want to know how to put hope in your bucket? Then you and I need to study God's word. You and I need to put God's word into us to fill our hope. This is where we're reminded where our salvation comes from. This is where we are reminded that the promise is that he'll not leave you. He's not going to abandon you. This is where we find that God hears us, that he's near the broken. Brokenhearted. It's in here that those promises are, and you have to meditate it on it day and night. That's what he calls us to do. That this should be on our mind, and instead, you know what we let on in the forefront of our mind and what we think about is all the worry, all the distraction instead of God's word and his promises. And that's why your hope has drained out. You could clog the hole in your bucket real quick by just putting God's word, meditating on it day and night. And then he says this, this is my command. Be strong and courageous. See, because you have me as your hope, Jesus says, and because you are putting the hope of God's word into you and his promises, he says that you can be strong, you can be courageous. And he says you don't need to be afraid, you don't need to be discouraged, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. We still hold on to that. He's with you wherever you are going. And then lastly, we see in verse number 13, the Lord your God is giving you a place of rest. You don't feel very rested, do you? And you don't feel rested because you're not filling your hope bucket up. You have forgotten that Jesus said, come to me, those who are weary and those who have heavy burdens. And he said, Jesus said, I will give you rest. You have forgotten that promise. Will you not fill your hope bucket up with the promise of who Jesus says he is, and let him be that anchor for your soul? Let's look at this very first next step, or the second one, the second next step that's on your connection card. So take out your connection cards. If you're online, again, find that connection card link. And the second next step says, my discouragement is keeping me from chasing hope. I need to trust more in the promises of God than the circumstances I'm facing. We just want to pray for you. We know, we understand. I know what it feels like to feel half full of hope. And I know what it feels like to feel like that somebody's pulled the drain plug out, you know, and all the hope goes away. I've been there. You've been there. We want to pray for you. So just let us know how can we pray for you, and that you would instead hold on to the promises of God. The other next step says this, I want to be a part of the team. I'm interested in using my gifts to help our church reach our state. And this could be in any way. This just isn't about, are you willing to open up your home for a microsite on Easter Sunday? This is, hey, are you willing to volunteer on our welcome team? Are you willing to volunteer on our tech team? Are you willing to volunteer in our children's ministry? You know, there's a plethora of ways. And if you're willing to help in some way, what we'd love to reach out to you and understand some of the ways that you would like to be a part. And so if you indicate this on your connection card, then what we'll do is we'll reach out to you and we'll say, hey, what do you have in mind? Are you thinking microsite? Are you thinking tech team? Are you thinking welcome team? You know, what are you thinking? And then we'll see where the conversation goes from there. And again, with our same texting phone number, you can just text the keyword pray and let us know whether it's a way to pray for you or whether it's a way to help you to come and be a part of the team so that we can radically change the spiritual climate of Rhode Island, one person, one community at a time. Will you pray with me? Father, we come to you this morning and we are praying. We are seeking you. We're asking that you would come and do a work inside of us. Jesus, you are our hope, and we need more of you and less of us. And so may that just come and happen here today. And Father, as we pause and as we remind ourselves of how there's able to be more of you in us and less of us, as we reflect of how you redeemed us, how you are able to intercede on our behalf, that you're able to go right into the curtain of the Holy of Holies, if you will, in the Old Testament. You're able to go right before God on our behalf. And Jesus, we're going to pause and reflect upon your sacrifice, you laying down your life so that we could have the forgiveness of sins. And as we do that, will you please move? Will you please speak to people? Will you please remind people that you love them, that they are seen, and that we have so many promises. We have so much hope in you that's not wishful thinking, but it's a confident way in which we can live our life. So come and move among us, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So as